The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Before we move on and discuss the baby formula shortage, also Dr. Fauci's comments over the weekend, finally, he was delivering us some good news, believe it or not. Dr. Fauci was a ray of sunshine over the weekend, telling us that he will leave his post if Trump is elected in 2024. Just the thought of that. Number one, Trump being reelected, but number two, the effect being that Fauci would have to step down, that he would retire to spend more time with his family. All of that makes me so happy. Really, it was just the thing I needed. And did he think he was telling us something that was going to disappoint us? I might leave. Don't like, you know, your obvious response when Fauci says, if Trump wins, I'm not going to do this job anymore. The go-to response is that a promise or a threat?
Well, no, what happened is he was talking to Jim Acosta, everybody's favorite diary keeper, and Acosta brought up the point of, yeah, would you go back to work for Trump? And Fauci was like, no, I wouldn't. So it was somewhat, we have the audio, it was somewhat anticlimactic. But
let's play it. I'd like to hear a little bit of Dr. Fauci.
If Trump were to return to the White House as president, and COVID is still a threat, or there's some other public health emergency, would you have confidence in his ability? Would you have confidence in his ability to deal with a pandemic of this nature? Would you want to stay on in your post?
Well, no, to the second question. The first question.
I think
is,
I knew the answer, but I had to ask you.
If you look at the history of what the response was during the administration, I think, you know, at best you could say it wasn't optimal. And I think just history will speak for itself about that. I don't need to make any further comment on that, Jim.
Oh, the it's old not history
you not
books
with
excuse.
Trump again, fair to say.
Right.
Right.
For sure.
The history will. You know, Fauci, it's funny you should say that because I think history will say a lot about you as well. I think your story speaks for itself. And I think all of the investigations that are going to happen if Republicans take over in November, I think those will speak for themselves too. If we get some without all the redactions, I think your work at the NIH and the NIH's involvement with the Wuhan lab, I think all that's going to speak for itself. I can't wait to hear it speak for itself, in fact. And how about this rewriting history? Oh, it wasn't optimal. Riddle me this. The president of the United States stops flights from coming in from China. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi and Democrats are encouraging people to go to downtown San Francisco, to go out to eat. You know, they're saying it's not a big deal. Fauci said you don't need masks. Would he say that his response was optimal? This guy, every time I think, I cannot dislike him. That's me being very nice. I cannot dislike him anymore. I'm proven wrong. And he does these. By the way, I haven't seen Jim Acosta. I thought he was still hiding in the bushes at Mar-a-Lago watching Donald Trump play golf. Is he back on TV again? What, does he have a weekend show?
Yeah, he's on Saturdays, I believe, on CNN.
You know who needs a wellness check is people who are watching Jim Acosta on Saturdays. Those are people I am truly concerned about. Dear Diary, today I got to speak with Dr. Fauci. Beyond that, though, beyond the Fauci news, the baby formula shortage is still an issue. The administration continues to downplay it. And I want to play Pete Buttigieg because when you really think about it, talk about a banner year Pete Buttigieg has had as far as the amount of disasters that could go on under your watch. And you could also not take any responsibility for any of them. I mean, every time he's out there, he's like, you know, it's not really my fault. Let's take Pete Buttigieg. Cut 16, please.
But that is the federal government's job as regulators to help ensure.
As regulators, yes, but let's be very clear. This is a capitalist country. The government does not make baby formula, nor should it. Mm-hmm. Companies make formula. And one of those companies, a company which, by the way, seems to have 40% market share, messed up and is unable to confirm that a plant, a major plant, is safe and free of contamination.
You know, it makes me...
Oh, that private sector.
It makes me laugh, Jared, because we could do a whole segment on this show once a week about private sector. Like, they love to pull that. And I know I usually say this for later in the week because you guys know I'm going to need it later in the week, but I'm going to use this right now. If President MAGA King were still in office and this was happening, I can almost hear Pete Buttigieg going to reporters to talk about... what a disgrace it is that President Trump didn't do more. And you'll notice the narrative on the baby formula shortage is changing. Like, when I always find it interesting when these Democrats claim to have found out about something. It goes back to Barack Obama finding about stuff at the same time as everybody else. He found out about it in the newspaper. They love that idea that Joe Biden is a victim of circumstance. He's getting everything at the same time we are. And that's changing, though, because we had Becerra, who was on over the weekend, and I believe he's the head of Health and Human Services. And listen to what he had to say, because just pay attention to the timeline aspect.
You're satisfied with the government's response throughout this?
From everything I've known, and FDA has kept me apprised of this from last year, we have been moving as quickly as we can.
Last year? And you guys have been moving as quickly as you can, and this is the result of that? I'm so glad you guys weren't in charge of that vaccine way back when. That vaccine that, by the way, someone should remind Joe Biden was all set to go before he became president.
Not according to the official White House Twitter, it wasn't.
Yeah, not according to the Easter Bunny. Too busy tweeting to look at the facts.
Even though over the weekend when he was at the Police Officers Memorial Service, he contradicted that tweet himself by saying 2 million people had been vaccinated when he got in.
But Jared, I have to say...
including himself.
The way this administration always seems to be playing defense against all of this stuff, like, we're doing the best we can, we've known about it since last year, but Joe Biden's going to talk about it next week. It blows my mind. Like, where is the urgency? They have such urgency for fake news, you know, the migrants being whipped at the border. Urgency. They're running towards the cameras. But when it comes to a baby formula shortage, it's like, oh, yeah, Biden's set to make a statement in a couple of months about this once he wraps his head around it. That's the best we can do. And you're happy with your performance? You think this is going well? Of course, they don't. They know this is not going well. But... I mean, I don't even know. This is like the tragedy of the treadmill. It's the tragedy of the baby formula. I didn't really get to talk about this on Friday, but did you see Bette Midler's tweet? I talked about it a little bit on Howie's show. She was talking about how, you know, breast milk is free and readily available. Would love to hear what Pete Buttigieg thinks about that. Because talk about offensive. Talk about a bad take. She had liberals in her comment section.
Birthing people.
The disconnect between the liberal elites, and I would include Pete Buttigieg in that, and regular people has never been so obvious. Pete, you're next up. Is this Mayor Pete?
Hey, no. Thanks, Grace. You know, it's amazing. Buttigieg and the rest of these people, this administration is filled with, overloaded with nothing but incompetent, overpaid fools, hacks. And you know, Grace, I mean, you'd have to be totally blind not to see this coming during the election. But Buttigieg was a miserable failure as the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and now look at him. And the thing about it is, with the border, with this formula, Grace, is that they've known this all along because they were funneling a lot of this from the manufacturers to the southern border for the illegal tourists.
Yeah, and Jen Psaki had said, she made a comment about this on Friday. I want to mention something that Pete just brought up. He just gave me a little flashback. He's talking about Mayor Pete and how unqualified he is and how, you know, he's dealing with this disaster, not handling it well. And it brings me back to the supply chain crisis when Pete was bungling that. And I remember we had a caller. Now, this is far back, Jared. You might not remember this, but we had a caller called up. And he was explaining the supply chain crisis. He was a truck driver.
Everybody gather around. We're going to tell the story of the before time again.
This isn't that before. This is still Biden years. There was still a lot of B-roll of empty shelves. So don't get too excited for this story. But he was talking. He was a truck driver and he was explaining the supply chain crisis. And within 30 seconds of this guy's call, he explained it better than any of these Ivy League beautiful people ever could. They keep telling, oh, it's complicated. You know, you won't understand it. It's going to go over your head. It's a little complicated. You know, it's hard to wrap your arms around if you're in the restaurant booth. This truck driver calls up, explains in 2 seconds. And I remember thinking, I would rather that guy be in charge of the supply chain crisis than Pete Buttigieg. Because wouldn't you want someone who at least knows how anything works? That's why people like Donald Trump. And I used to get nervous about Trump when he would answer questions. I thought he was going to have like an Aleppo moment where they tricked him with something. But then I realized Trump has a vast knowledge of all of these issues from a business perspective. Because he's worked with countries. He's worked with politicians on all of this stuff in business. So he does have a real understanding of how things work. With these politicians, with Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg, they're like amateur hour, and they don't understand how anything works. They've never had a real job before, and all they know how to do is talk in circles, and honestly not even that good at that. That's like one thing I'll say about Jen Psaki, speaking of circles, the circle back queen. While I don't think she knows how to handle anything, and I don't think she's probably good at making decisions, her job was to spin, and she was good at spinning. Kamala Harris's job is to actually get to the root cause of issues. She sucks at that. And then on top of it, when it's her time to spin, she can't spin for bleep.
I think the perfect description for this regime is a pedantocracy.
Yes. That's very good,
that
Jared.
Is. I cannot take credit for that. I found that online. But yes, they are a pedantocracy.
Yeah, everything is just a sound cut. And
book theorists
by the
trying
way,
to rule.
We have a really good cut. Speaking of like the book report summaries of Kamala Harris, we'll do a little Where in the World is Kamala Harris when we come back. It's 844-500-4242. Please call in and weigh in. I'd love to take your calls today. Get the week started off strong with a lot of input from the listeners. We also have Joe Biden speaking at the National Police Officers Memorial Service. And he brings up, of course, it's not supposed to be about him, you know, but he talks about his mom, his dad, he talks about his son. Because everything is about Joe Biden. He is the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Normally, when I find a really good cut, I try to work it into a whole segment. This one needs no introduction. It's Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, and this is going to be in competition now for my favorite cut of the week because it made me laugh so hard. All right, this is Clarence Thomas talking to a group of like an audience, basically. I think it was some sort of event, and the media is there. And take a listen.
One of the things I'd say in response to the media is when they talk about, or especially early on, about the way I did my job, I said, I will absolutely leave the court when I do my job as poorly as you do yours. And that was meant as a compliment, really.
He is the best. He is the GOAT. 844-500-4242. All right, now for someone who doesn't tend to hit the punchline as good as that, let's have a little bit of where in the world is Kamala Harris?
Freedom!
Tell me where in the world is
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris, the vice president, Doug's wife, she was at an event where she was talking about climate change, the planet, global warming. You know the thing. You know the drill.
Craters, space, you name it.
I know. Really, though, when you think about it, she should focus less on global warming, and she should really use her expertise with the craters to focus on other planets. But let's talk a little bit about what Kamala had to say, because she made a remark, and I tried to figure it out. I tried to break it down. I got a little lost at the end. Let's see if the callers, the listeners, will do better than I did. This is Kamala Harris, cut two.
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
But will we work
on
it together?
Sounds. There's sounds.
I know we're going to work on it, but will we work on it together? You only said that four times, so I can't be sure. I'm going to float a new theory out here. And, you know, Jared's always open to theories. If you didn't figure that out yet, Jared is non-judgmental when it comes to theories. I have oftentimes said that there is a saboteur in the Joe Biden White House, that they're writing words like Galapagos, www dot. They're giving him URLs. They're giving him phone numbers. They're giving him statistics.
And they're not going to let me read it all.
They're writing down things he has no business trying to say in front of a live studio audience at that fake White House set. Well, Jared, I'm starting to think we have a new, either that same saboteur is doing double duty and is also working on Kamala on her team, or there's another rat in the White House. Because if that is something that was written down, which it appears it was, she was looking down, looking up, looking down at her piece of paper. Who is coming up with this? Like, they're playing a massive prank. I'm waiting for Ashton Kutcher to show up at one of these and go, Kamala, you just got punked. We wrote gibberish and you read it in front of everyone. She does this like once a week.
Don't sell her short, making it sound like she needs a speechwriter. I'm sure she writes that herself. She's full of these wonderful ideas.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody writes Kamala's story but Kamala.
Nobody makes
Go,
me
girl.
Bleed my own blood. Yeah, it's that's up there. It always does sound like she's trying to. You have a paper and the teacher says it has to be 500 words. And towards the end, you just start throwing in therefore, ipso facto, here you just start riffing in your paper, basically throwing in some words. That's what she's doing in her speeches, and it's brutal, but I love it. I encourage her to keep going because we need moments like this every single day. I want to get that written out and put in my kitchen, you know, instead of live, laugh, love.
Inspirational quotes.
We need Kamala inspirational quotes. 844-500-4242. When we get back, we'll have some more great sound from Joe Biden, and we'll also talk a little bit about Jeff Bezos. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements.
Underrated bop from Greece. That is the way it should be. If we're going to tackle this climate crisis, or as Kamala's boss says, climate crisis, I think it's important that we work together. Because I'm sure together we can lower the Earth's temperature. Can't fix any potholes. Can't figure out the baby formula shortage.
Climate crisis?
baby formula shortage, not our problem. But lowering the Earth's temperature and stopping the oceans from rising, that much we can do. I know that this is not a new concept here, but I want to point this out just again, Jared, how absurd those two things are. They think they can fix the planet's temperature, but when it comes to baby formula, huh? Oh, you want to blame us? The pothole outside your house is never going to go away. They need trillions of dollars for the green initiatives. But the most basic, like to get your favorite cookies back at the supermarket. Whoa, 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 whoa. What do you think this is? Magaland? I don't think so.
I guess the planet isn't in the dreaded private sector where it has to take care of itself.
And you know what? Something else I should add in here. They think that they're going to, you know, solve all of these massive, I don't even want to say problems, just like inevitabilities, you know? And who's the comedian? Is it Carlin who does the whole stand-up sketch about global warming? It's pretty good. I'll tweet it out in a minute. But then there's issues where you look at it and you say, okay, well, this was something that the FBI maybe could have got a handle on or could have done a little more research on. And there's no blame being tossed around there. But when it comes, but they expect you to believe that they're going to be able to handle these other monstrosity issues. Now, here's an example. This is from the Associated Press. They write, breaking, the 18-year-old accused of killing 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket had threatened a shooting at his high school last year and was sent for mental health treatment, a law enforcement official told the AP. Now, Robbie Sove wrote back, time and time again, we find out that people saw something, said something, but law enforcement just didn't do enough about it. I don't want to overgeneralize. I don't know all the details of what was missed here, but this does seem to be something that occurs oftentimes with these shootings, is that there were red flags, there were warning signs, there were people who tried to warn authorities that this might be a possibility, and if we're going to talk about like all of this talk about the manifesto, and I haven't really gotten into it that much because, again, I don't consider what this nut wrote in a manifesto to really lead to any sort of solution, or obviously there's no solution, but to lead to any sort of understanding. He's a nut. You know, crazy's crazy. That's an expression I always say. You can't beat crazy. Like, there's no way we're going to figure this guy out by going through his nutty manifesto. However, when a situation like this does occur, I do think it would be productive for people to sit down and say, okay, what did law enforcement know? When did they find out about it? And what did they do to follow up? And maybe there were things they did to follow up, and maybe there really was nothing else they could do. But shouldn't we look into that? Isn't that a way to kind of look at the situation in hindsight and say, how can we in the future maybe avoid this?
If he didn't buy a Lego set, he didn't buy a Lego set, Grace. I don't know what more you'd want the FBI to do.
That's what I mean. The FBI is just,
they're working hard out there.
Well, let's play. This is Eugene Robinson from the Washington Post. And this is what I mean when I say just pointless partisan buffoonery at work. This is Eugene Robinson, Cut 7.
Paul, the person accused of this horrific and just unspeakable crime, a lone gunman. He had backup.
Yes.
He had backup from the killers who came before him in Charleston, in El Paso, in Pittsburgh, in New Zealand.
Waukesha?
He had that backup, and he also had backup from those who are playing footsie with this replacement theory in order to win votes, in order to win television ratings.
Ryan Saavedra wrote, he literally states in his manifesto that he is not a conservative and that he considers himself to be a leftist. I want to read you Glenn Greenwald, because what a lot of people pointed out there was there's this, because of this replacement theory, there's a lot of talk about Tucker Carlson. Tucker has, like everybody else in the conservative movement, Tucker has blood on his hands, according to the left. And Glenn writes about how the shooter who shot Steve Scalise was a big fan of Rachel Maddow. And I'm just going to read the end here because I know people complain if I read too much. I understand. But I think this is pretty good. He says, Rachel Maddow had far more known connections to Scalise's shooter, James Hodgkinson, than Carlson had to Gendron. After all, as Maddow herself acknowledged, Hodgkinson was a fan of her show and had expressed his love and admiration for her. His animating views and ideology tracked hers perfectly with essentially no deviation. And yet, despite this ample evidence that he was influenced by her, it would never occur to me to blame Maddow for his shooting spree, because doing so would be completely demented, since Maddow never told or suggested to anyone that they go out and shoot the political enemies she was depicting as traitors, Kremlin agents, plotters to overthrow American democracy, and replace it with a fascist dictatorship and grave menaces to civil rights and basic freedom. Skipping around here. But all bets are off. All such principles or moral and logical reasoning are dispensed with when an act of violence can be pinned on the political enemies of liberals. If a homicidal maniac kills an abortion doctor, then all peaceful pro-life activists are blamed. If an LGBT citizen is killed, then anyone who shares the views that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton had until 2012 about marriage equality is blamed. If a police officer unjustifiably kills a black citizen, all police supporters or those who dissent from liberal orthodoxy on racial politics are decreed guilty. But liberals are never at fault when right-wing politicians are murdered, or police officers are hunted and gunned down by police opponents, or an anti-abortion group is targeted with firebombing and arson, as just happened in Wisconsin, or radical Muslims engage in random acts of violence. By definition, moral reasoning that is applied only in one direction has nothing to do with morality and everything to do with crass exploitative opportunism. And then at the very end, he says, but if you really want to claim that a public figure has blood on their hands every time someone murders in the name of ideas and ideologies they support, then the list of people you should be accusing of murder is a very, very long one indeed. And that's why you just shouldn't. That's why you just shouldn't. And it's not hard. It's really not. When a horrible thing happens, it's not hard to go, I'm not going to blame people who had nothing to do with it for this horrible thing. Trust me, some of the concepts we deal with in the day-to-day of this show, you know, different issues, you have to read a lot about. They're very tricky. Some things are not that difficult. A crazy person does something, you don't blame Tucker Carlson. Just like I would never blame Rachel Maddow. It's basic. It's just human decency not to do that, because it's a real sleazy move. And it's all about politics. It's all about politicizing something that's horrible to begin with. And then adding in your little think pieces or your Rolling Stone cover piece on how this shooter was actually a mainstream conservative just makes it so much worse, if that's even possible. 844-500-4242. Let's play another cut here from Wesley Lowery. This is CBS, fake but accurate. This is cut 9, please.
This is our American society in which white Americans are being told and being poisoned through the internet, but also through some relatively mainstream media organizations on the right, being told that they're facing a demographic crisis and that they have to stand up for themselves.
Let's just be clear, Wes, you're talking about Tucker Carlson. You're talking about Laura Ingraham. You're talking about the biggest stars on Fox News. Is it too simplistic to reduce this to a single television show, though?
Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of that on social media. Just blaming Fox, just blaming Tucker. And I think there's a lot of blame to go around.
There's a ton. I mean, look, let's be clear. The stuff Tucker and Laura Ingraham say every night, it could be written by white supremacists very often. There is a section of this manifesto where the shooter starts talking about, people always say diversity is strength. How is it strength? What do we, and it,
oh,
I can
God.
Hear
all right,
it in
all right.
Tucker's
we're good.
Voice.
We're,
he says this.
We're good. We're good. Now, what about when the shooters or the people who are committing these crimes are black supremacists? Because we've had that over the last couple weeks. And I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't heard Stelter talk about it. I haven't heard them dive in. It seems like when the ideologies are not focused on MAGA or Tucker or Laura Ingraham, that everyone in the mainstream media goes silent. That's just something I'm noticing. Has anyone else picked up on that? It's almost like you get to the point, though, with these, Jared, where the partisan nature of what they're doing and the complete lack of nuance in their hypocrisy, it almost is overwhelming to the point where you just go, people are going to see right through this. I mean, people have to. Yesterday on Twitter, Waukesha was trending because people were saying, wait, hold on, six people died at Waukesha and Biden couldn't go. Biden couldn't go because it was going to require too much work, or it was going to require too many moving parts. He couldn't go, but now he's going to Buffalo on Tuesday. I have no issue with him going to Buffalo, by the way. If he thinks he can offer support to that community, if he wants to go and help them through it, I have no issue with that. But it is obvious to people that you're picking and choosing which tragedies you deem politically beneficial to you. And that's gross. It is. Because we're all Americans. I didn't think he was the Americans of, I didn't think he was the president of just certain Americans, just, you know, Democrats or Republicans. I thought he was the president of everybody, the unifier. But it seems
between
like
red and blue,
he really does only come out of hiding when he thinks it's going to be politically beneficial for him. In all of these cases, 844-500-4242. We'll continue to take your calls. I see some people on the lines. Don't go anywhere. We had a Grace's Goodies coming up as well. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
So you're looking for a deal and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I am so excited about this Grace's Goodies. Mark Sesteri is with us now. Mark, tell everyone where you're coming from and what we got.
Good to see you again, Grace. Southern Airways is now the largest commuter airline in the USA, flying to over 50 destinations from Honolulu in the west to little old Nantucket here in the east. And we continue to be growing when a lot of other airlines are shrinking. You probably heard there's a nationwide pilot shortage.
Yes.
Very serious, affecting big airlines and small. We have been blessed that we have, knock on wood, had a very strong and steady supply of pilots. And in line with that, we are expanding our service here in New England.
And we have a really great deal. Today's Grace's Goodies is a fan favorite. As I said, Southern Airways is the only way to travel. It's the only way I travel to Nantucket. And today's deal is a round-trip ticket valued at $200 being sold today for only $100. This is going to go very quickly. We don't have a lot. It's going to go really fast. Get on it right now. GraceCurlyShow.com. Click on store to get your Grace's Goodies. These flights go from three local airports, Norwood, New Bedford, and Providence, Rhode Island. And it's really fun. It almost becomes... Sometimes when you're traveling somewhere, you almost deduct the travel time because it feels like such a drag to get there. Whereas when you're going with Southern Airways, it becomes part of the trip.
Very much so, yeah. A lot of folks that fly us for the first time say it's their favorite part of the trip because it's so pretty and you've never really seen Nantucket from that perspective if you fly over in a big plane or take the ferry. So people do really enjoy it.
It's like an adventure. It really is. And it's really fun. You can make a day of it. You can stay for a little while if you want to. But today's deal is a round trip ticket valued at $200. We're selling it for just $100. And let's talk about where people tend to want to fly out of and how easy it is to get to these airports.
Well, the big news today for us, Grace, is that in addition to our current gateways at Norwood, Providence, and New Bedford, we are on June 16th launching brand new flights from Hyannis.
Oh, that's perfect for me.
So, you know, the folks that are used to the schlep on the ferry now will have four choices a day to fly on us. It's a 21-minute flight.
Oh, that is just perfect.
Yeah, and Nantucket is, it's wonderful because it's so close. It's so authentic. And it's also nice and cool in the summer. You know, when those of us are roasting here in the city, it's almost always very comfortable there. You don't even need AC.
It's really, really fun. If you've never been to Nantucket, this is the perfect time to try it out. I guarantee you're going to love it there. It's a wonderful place to be. And what about parking? If people get there, how can they park?
At Norwood and New Bedford, the parking is free.
Excellent.
And it is, let's just say a lot less expensive at Providence and Hyannis than it is at Boston Logan.
Yes, I would guess that. Yes. Hey, Mark, can I ask you a question? And just a heads up here, it's gracecurlyshow.com. Click on store. Did you see the story a couple days ago about the guy who landed the plane in Palm Beach?
Yes, I did.
That was wild.
He had no piloting experience at all, and air traffic control talked him down. It was a miracle.
It was a miracle.
And a happy ending, luckily.
I would have freaked out. But he was calm. He was a calm guy. He just got on the phone or on the radio and said, I need to land this.
Yeah, that was truly, truly amazing. And like I said, we're glad he arrived safely.
Phew. Yeah, I'll say. All right, so tell us a little bit more about these planes. I went on it. If people want to check out my Twitter, I have old photos. My husband and I traveled on Southern Airways. We had so much fun. Beautiful planes.
Yeah, the planes are roomy. They're only 9 passenger, but the windows are big. We have power ports at every seat, so if you want to charge your cell phone or whatever, the seats are super, super comfortable, and best of all, plenty of room for luggage. So if you want to bring a bike or you have an oversized bag or whatever, we're happy to have it. We also take dogs on board. If you have a small dog under 25 pounds, it does need to be in a case, but you can hold it on your lap or put it under the seat. If you have a big dog over 25 pounds, it's got to be in a crate. We'll put it in the back seat of the plane, and that is $40. So, but we do take dogs, and we take a ton of dogs to Nantucket. People love taking their puppies.
That's perfect. All right, everyone. So go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store. You'll get a round trip ticket valued at $200. You're getting it for half off. It's only $100. And I look forward to doing this summer. I know everyone's going to love it. It's really, like I said, it becomes part of the trip. You're going to be looking forward to traveling back as much as getting there, which is unheard of as far as travel goes. All right, we'll be right back with more. Thank you so much, Mark.
Great to see you, Grace. We'll see you on board.
It's Grace Curly Show.